Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our final.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com, and I'm excited about having Steve DelBianco back on the show. Steve is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, vice president with the Association for Competitive Technology. He's our good friend. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And this is an important week for the future of American businesses in the 21st century, Steve, because the government has done some things that's going to help us. And I'm going to set it up this way, Steve, to help our audience understand the impact of what you're going to report to us today. Folks, 20 or so years ago, a report showed that corporations, businesses, I should say, because it includes mine and yours, had 70-80% assets in the fixed category, things you can kick and paint and move, and about 20-30% in the intellectual property, the intangible assets like patents and systems and knowledge. And By the end of the 20th century, just a few years ago, that number had reversed, essentially, to where most of our assets were intellectual property and the minority of our assets were tangible assets. And so that's the direction that the marketplace is moving in the 21st century. So that means that all these years we took out insurance to make sure that our fixed assets were protected. We got to now take some of those kinds of steps to make sure that our intellectual property is protected. Steve, that's the best I can do. What do you think?
It's a good intro, and so many times the measures taken to protect your intellectual property, we're maintaining it as a trade secret. In other words, making sure that you didn't tell anybody and that employees didn't leave with the company jewels in the way of, say, some proprietary business process you had, a formula for a particular chemical or a recipe for a food product. Those were trade secrets that you could protect. And in the software industry, you can well imagine the trade secret are things like the source code behind the computer software or the design of a circuit. But that's not always the right way to protect your intellectual property, since once it gets out, you've lost the ability to keep it licensable and protected. So there's three other ways that people protect intellectual property: patents, trademarks, and copyrights. The Justice Department then has taken about 6 months and generated a 61-page report on a task force that they put together for intellectual property. And that was just released last week, and I can give you guys a little summary about that today.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. And folks, one of my new missions this year is, and by the way, folks, I learned about this ratio change, this sea change. And it tracks perfectly if you think about what's going on in the marketplace and what's happening to the U.S. economy. It tracks perfectly with that, this new information about the ratio of our fixed and intangible assets. And I learned this information at a conference that Steve's organization put on. And Steve, I want to thank you for that. And we've had that speaker on the show in the past and to talk to us about this, but this is something that we have to get serious about this, because the future of your business, regardless of whether even if you're a wholesaler, even if you're a supplier and you've got lots of inventory, and even if you're a real estate company and you've got lots of fixed assets, your intellectual property, even if it's not the 80-20 like it is, like the report showed, even if it is maybe a more even ratio, your intellectual property, Steve, regardless of the ratios, is going to become more and more important to you, isn't it?
It is. And even if the only intellectual property you may have is your trademark, the company logo, the name, the brand, and the reputation you've spent years trying to build and maintain.
Yep.
That becomes a piece of intellectual property, and it's a small matter to make sure that you get that trademark so someone else doesn't dilute or ruin your brand by copying or stealing it.
You've got to recognize what these assets are, folks. You've got to deploy them consistently, and you've got to be prepared to defend them.
You also have to be careful that you don't step on other people's intellectual property in a way that's going to get you in trouble.
And, Steve, that's the reason why in all the information that I have now about this, about what the Department of Justice is doing, I wrote this word down at the bottom of the sheet, education. We've all got to become more educated about this issue, and that's what Steve Del Bianco is here to do, folks. He's going to do that some more right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I will be right back with Steve Del Bianco.
Right into space.
Hey, all right. Sorry about that, folks. I kind of lost it there for a minute. I like that song. We're rocking in the USA, folks, with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. You know who I am. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I have to say that every once in a while just to make sure I know who I am. And you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, where we have lots of fun. You meet incredibly interesting people, really smart folks. I'm not talking about me, folks. I'm talking about guys like Steve Del Bianco and ladies like Beverly Ann Menebel and the two people you're going to meet in the next hour. Actually, you're going to meet three people. You're going to meet Gary Silverstein, and you're also going to meet Doug Risser and Jeff Landis, who's their partners. Both of those guys are in the travel agency business, the travel services business. And as you know, I'm here in La Quinta, California, which is hard by to Palm Springs, and I'm working with the American Express U.S. Representative Travel Network and out here doing some fun stuff with these guys, and that's where I am, and I knew you were dying to know that. Steve Del Bianco is Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. Steve, tell us about ACT.
Yeah, ACT's a trade association, but it also includes a lot of information technology professionals who are trying to make sure that market principles and not government regulation are dictating the successes and failures and picking the winners and losers in the tech industry. You can get to our website at www.actonline.org.
You know, Steve, I mentioned before we went to the break, I used the word education, and I really am trying to do my part on this. As you know, I've been trying to focus on intellectual property quite a bit this year. This is not just an, you know, education, Steve, presumes that people are learning more. There are some people out there who just need to know that that intellectual property exists as a factor, as a dynamic in the marketplace. So we've got to actually do some introduction and some education before we can get people to take the steps to make sure that they understand that they've got to protect their brands, they've got to protect their trademarks, and I'm really proud that I'm sure that you applaud the Attorney General Ashcroft for this move that he's making to actually tighten up and some of the laws that are in force, that are in place, and enforcing some of these laws.
And that's right, Jim. A lot of what they've done is make recommendations, but they start off with your keyword, education. The beginning of the 61-pager is a really refreshing departure from the usual economic justifications and lawyerly talk that goes into intellectual property. Instead, they open the 61-page report with three compelling stories of intellectual property theft, which have really led to bad things happening to good people. They talk about a counterfeit medication that made a little boy sicker instead of better, since they didn't know it was a counterfeit. They talk about an exploding cell phone battery that blew up while it was on a charger one night and burned a house down. Again, it was a counterfeit battery. And then finally, they tell a story of a Nashville songwriter who had to lay off 8 of his 9 employees because the intellectual property he produced was being stolen at the rate of 1.2 million songs through the Internet file swapping services.
Wow.
These are stories that meant to focus the mind of lawmakers and policymakers so that they realize this has real impact on real people. It's not just about a company's balance sheet suffering from intellectual property theft. Companies and people suffer when this stuff is stolen.
Aren't they also working, didn't I read that they're also going to be working on protecting our intellectual property overseas?
That's an excellent introduction to what they recommended. They have five basic recommendations. One of them is education, your key word for the day. But the other four are international cooperation, because they realize that intellectual property theft is truly a global threat. They say that any street corner in China, you can buy CD-ROMs with any software, music, or movies. And you know you're not getting a legitimate copy. Somebody's not getting paid for that.
Yeah.
The other three areas were criminal enforcement. They like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, but they'd like to strengthen that a little bit. They want to see civil enforcement so that you could sue another person for infringing on your intellectual property. And finally, on antitrust policy, the Department of Justice recommends that in antitrust enforcement that we not force companies to license their intellectual property. We make that a choice the companies make, not something we force on them.
Right. Well, that's good information, and I really applaud the Attorney General and the Bush administration. This is real help that the marketplace needs. This is, as you said, this is not about the lawyers. This is about the business owners, isn't it?
It is. And when those business owners are out playing golf with that brand-new Callaway driver and the ball just keeps slicing off to the right, they ought to check to see if that's a counterfeit Callaway driver. Who knows? That could be the reason.
Well, you know, I played golf yesterday, and I had some – maybe that's what happened to me. I bet you that's the reason I sliced the ball. I bet I accidentally got one of those – you know, I needed another excuse, Steve. Thank you for that. Okay. Before we go any further, we're going to talk about, folks, it's the 10th anniversary of the USB Microsoft case, and nobody knows more about that than Steve Del Bianco. We're going to talk about that in a second. But, Steve, one of the things I wanted people to know is if they go to the U.S. Trademark and Patent Office, and I'm trying to remember the website, maybe you know it, folks, the Internet and that organization makes it easy for you to register your trademarks and your the things that you want to protect. Steve, do you remember the website?
Sure, the USPTO.gov.
USPTO.gov, right?
That's right.
USPTO, Patents Trademark Organization, I think. USPTO.gov. Folks, you can go there. If you'll go there today, that's where you can, if nowhere else, you can begin your education about this. And folks, also, let me tell you another place you can go to learn about, to continue your education, and that's Steve's website, ACT Online, actonline.org. Check that out. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 10th anniversary of USB Microsoft. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Del Bianco is our guest and our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. Again, I'll remind you, and folks, I encourage you to join their organization. If you're a small business owner, you don't have to think of yourself as a technology company. What I want you to do, folks, is look around you. Do you see a computer? Do you see a cell phone? Do you see a PDA, a laptop, or a BlackBerry, or a Palm Pilot, or anything like that? Do you see anything that plugs into a wall or has a battery? You are part of this technology generation, and Steve's organization is working to make sure that the things that you use, you can use effectively without the government's overbearing or intervention, and the things that you create, you can protect those things. And so whether you're a big business or a small business, I encourage you to check out the ACT and their website, actonline.org, and join their organization. Steve, tell us about the 10th year anniversary of USB Microsoft.
I think it's a story with a happy ending, but it really had a sad beginning, because 10 years ago, a very large competitors to Microsoft figured one way to trip up and slow down the company was to begin an antitrust suit. They were successful in getting that started 10 years ago, and here we are 10 years later, and the government stepped back from the brink of, say, breaking up Microsoft, were deciding to micromanage the operating system called Windows. But they did impose a sweeping settlement agreement that Microsoft agreed to. And tomorrow morning here in Washington, D.C., a judge will be doing her quarterly review about how well Microsoft has been implementing the terms of that settlement. And the settlement was not just with the federal government, but a lot of states made similar settlements as well.
Well, what is she going to find? What do you think is going to be her determination?
At this point, all the excitement of the daily courtroom drama is gone. It's rather boring stuff that only a geek like me could appreciate. But the issues that she looks at are, she asks the Justice Department, representing us, American people, and Microsoft to show up every 3 months and tell her how well the company's doing on things like technical documentation. Is Microsoft, for instance, sharing the hundreds of thousands of pages of documentation and product technical information that it's licensed to competitors to use? For folks who want to write software that runs on Windows, to make sure that they know early and accurately what changes Microsoft is making to Windows so their products can run well and not have to compete unfairly. Right. Other things like they've agreed to clarify. Microsoft's agreed to tell any original equipment manufacturer, any OEM who's shipping Windows on their hardware, that they're perfectly allowed to ship other people's operating systems, and they don't have to advertise or carry the Microsoft Windows operating system.
Well,
and then there's also
some
other good news in the report about licensing, because Microsoft was told to make sure that its communications protocols, its intellectual property again, was freely available to be licensed by Microsoft's competitors and other companies. And the judge always wants to see how many people Microsoft has signed up for the licensing program, and I think the number is up pretty good. I think there's 19 licenses to 5 different companies now. One thing you have to wonder, though, is if the judge and the government forcing Microsoft to try to license intellectual property that no one wants to license. Remember
right.
that the technology world moves at a speed that's much faster than the speed of government.
That was so one of the things that I, as you know, I covered that case once a month with you and Jonathan Zook, the president of ACT, and the others on both sides of the issue for a couple of years there as it was really going on in the courtroom. And one of the comments that I made was by the time the government gets through with their decision, the issue at hand, the issue that brought the case, will be moot. I asked this question: when is the antitrust machinery going to be able to move fast enough for the world of technology? And the laws at the time, the structure at the time, just wasn't fast enough.
No, and they've tried to structure their settlement so that it wasn't involve government trying to micromanage or try to keep up with technology.
Right.
But again, it's a bureaucratic burden at this point, and I believe it's made Microsoft a better corporate citizen.
Yeah,
but,
I think so.
And frankly, it was much ado about nothing.
Right. But you know, there's some good and some bad on this in this, folks. But it was a grueling process, no question about it. Steve, thank you for being here today. Good job.
Thank you, Jim. Enjoyed it, and look forward to being back on your show next time.
It's always a pleasure. We'll do it again real soon. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President with the Association for Competitive Technology. Don't forget their website. Start your intellectual property education at actonline.org. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners like Gary Silverstein, who's right in front of me, folks. He's going to be back with me in just a few minutes. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.